All right, welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge, Silent Phil and the Ones and Twos. Our special guest today is MEMI Director of Marketing, Rosemarie Mooring. Concerts, concerts, and concerts are coming back, and MEMI is they book concerts for several venues in town, including the new concert venue at the Banks, coming off fresh off the Foo Fighters concert, first ever concert at the new venue, and looking forward to having Rosemarie on to chat
about
that.
We'll have to see if we can get her to break some concert news.
Maybe see, yes. But first, our political segment, our political chat. And Sherry, we're looking at expected early next week.
Open secret.
Yeah.
I feel like this has been the longest coming announcement in the history of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please, Phil. Jason.
Expected next week, early next week, John Cranley will officially publicly launch his campaign for governor of Ohio in the 2022, which will mean there will be, as of now, a primary between John Cranley and Nan Whaley next May. And
they're both making their cases on social media, I will say. They're anti-corruption, they say. A lot of direction at, like, the corruption in Columbus, House Bill 6, that wouldn't have happened if, you know, under their leadership. So that's, expect that to be a huge talking point in what's coming up. Like, and honestly, I don't see how else it could be. I will be interested, the appetite for House Bill 6 and real Ohioans understanding what House Bill 6 is. It's a big state, and a lot has been written about, but it is a complicated issue.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of political folks across the state about this, and that it's really, for the everyday voter, it's really hard to get your arms around the House Bill 6 scandal, because it's not a clear cut, like someone handed someone a bag of cash kind of thing, which those types of things typically resonate so much easier with voters.
It's a lot of backroom dealing.
Yeah.
If you do this, allegations. If you do this, I'll do that, and I'll give you this. And we are talking like the biggest, you know, dollar figure, $1 billion at stake, and people actually having to pay a fee on their electricity bills. But about power, I mean, but we could talk about it all day. That's how complicated it is.
Totally. And you know, it didn't work for the Democrats last year, because the Republicans, even in the wake of Larry Householder being arrested as the alleged ringleader of the $60 million bribery scandal regarding this, last July, the Republicans still picked up seats in the state house to firm up more of their supermajority in Columbus. So
I expect to hear a lot about the Cincinnati comeback or the Cincinnati miracle and how well Dayton is doing. And I think in the case of Dayton, I think we're going to see Mayor Whaley really talk about her leadership. I mean, she has had a tough go of it in Dayton with tornadoes, mass shooting. There's been a lot that she's had to deal with, and like her leadership of it through that's going to be a theme, I think, that we see come out of Dayton. And John Cranley is going to really just talk about, you know, Cincinnati being in a better place under his mayoral leadership. Those will be the big talking points.
And whoever comes to a primary, which I wrote my column last weekend, that it's a big mistake for the Democrats as the underdog party in this state, as a party that has not won a statewide election outside of Sherrod Brown since 2008
and the Ohio Supreme Court. You will hear about it if you forget to say that.
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, a partisan, a non-judicial statewide elections other than Sherrod Brown. The last time. It's staggering to look at, but the last time the Democrats won a statewide non-judicial race besides Sherrod Brown is Richard Cordray winning a special election for attorney general in 2008. So 13 years ago, will be 14 years. My journalist math is correct by the time next year's election comes along. And well, we'll see what happens.
But I do think we're in the thick of it. I almost feel like we're more in the thick of these state races than we are of the local races, despite the fact that, you know, that race is this year.
Yeah, well, the U.S. Senate race with Rob Portman announcing that he's going to be retiring has certainly thrown a whole wrench into this year, more so than I think what everyone expected coming into 2021. And so that's, at least from a political standpoint, has kind of dominated the conversation. But we'll see what happens. Whoever emerges from the primary, which, and I wrote last weekend that I think, and there are a lot of people who are pushing John Cranley to do this, that John Cranley dropped an attorney general, and that
he is an adamant no on
that. He's an adamant no on that, absolutely. And that's not going to happen, as all indications I've received.
Although, to be fair, how many times have we heard that before and then it happens?
Absolutely. So, but I've gotten the sense from Cranley that it's either he runs for governor or he runs for nothing next year. And so as we stand today, he will launch his campaign early next week and see where it goes. I think he's certainly a much better general election candidate than Nan Whaley, but you got to get through step one before you can get to step two. And no matter who gets to step two, they're going to be a major underdog, because neither Nan Whaley or John Cranley are statewide household names. And that is underestimated. And I keep saying this, but it's underestimated every single election cycle in this state. Like, oh, well, this is because that there's a faction of loud folks or supporters on social media that somehow this candidate who's not known statewide is the favorite. And look, you're talking about a state of 12 different media markets, and it's incredibly difficult to break through, and especially break through as an unknown candidate for the underdog party, as the Democrats
It. Governor DeWine, everybody. I mean, that was the daily fixture on television. Like, I think before, like, people might have been like, oh, the governor of Ohio. I mean, everybody knows who the governor of Ohio is. I mean, whether you love him or hate him, I don't know. The name ID is there.
Yeah.
He was a part of our daily lives during the COVID, the height of the COVID pandemic last year.
So when Mike DeWine wins his primary, which he will, my prediction is that he will, as it stands today. I predict that it will not be a close race when he in the I don't think that's me really. I don't think that's going out on the ledge there.
$3 million on hand already.
Yes. I don't think that's a huge I don't think that's a surprise to a lot of people that he wins re-election easily if he gets through the primary, which I do believe he will. And, but that's why you run the race. And that's what John Cranley will say. Like, hey, here's the thing about Cranley. I want to make one more point, is that he thrives in a situation like this. He thrives, like, he likes being the underdog. But he is a major underdog in this situation. And he likes it that people are doubting him. And, you know, he thrived on that in both of his mayoral races, but we're not just in the city of Cincinnati anymore here.
Ohio is a gigantic state.
You know, he is referencing that he defeated two well-known, well-liked, progressive women candidates in who made mistakes in both of his elections for mayor.
In their campaign mistakes.
Yeah. Campaign mistakes. Like, this is not Cincinnati, not just Cincinnati anymore. So we'll see. I have nothing else to add.
I've already said
way too much, written way too much about the 2022 election because.
Oh, no. Keep it coming.
At the end of the day, everyday voters right now are certainly not paying attention to the 2022 election. Let's jump over and bring on Rosemarie Mooring. All right, special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm pleased to welcome to the podcast MEMI Director of Marketing, Rose Marie Mooring. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I want to make sure I got your title right. So, and I did. I think I did, right?
You know, when we were reaching out to you guys about like having someone on the podcast, I talked last week about going to the Foo Fighters, and we're like, well, who should come on? I was like, who can, you know, break all the news about the show? So it was you. So I was like, ooh, let's get Rosemarie.
So I'm here for the inside scoop.
Always.
Behind the scenes stuff that you don't hear about all the time.
But, you know, I will say going to the Foo Fighters concert at the Andrew J. Brady Icon Center really reminded me of like all the venues we have and like the different experiences we can have. And so we're going to talk about that.
Excellent.
What's I didn't go. Sherry went. She talked about the Foo Fighters concert, the first ever event at the new venue. What's this past week been like since that first event, and you know, sort of you've been able to take a step back, and what are your thoughts on it?
It's definitely there was a lot of angst leading up to it because we wanted everything to be so perfect, and I feel like we've been talking about this for 2 years now, and that when it finally happened and everything kind of went off without a hitch, I think we all just took like a big sigh of relief. And I will tell you what, we couldn't have asked for a better day. The skyline, everything, the people, it was just everything came together and it was everything that we wanted and more. And I think, Sherry, I don't want to speak for you, but I think everybody who went to the show felt that as well. It was just, it didn't feel like you were in Cincinnati, Ohio. It felt like you were, you know, it was an out-of-body experience, right? I think for a lot of people.
The people who listen to the podcast know I try not to say that. I got that from our former food writer, Polly Gamble, is like, never say that. She's like, because we are that city now. But I did feel that way. And then I had to remind myself, don't feel that way, because we are in Cincinnati and it is a special city. And then you felt that in that moment.
You are 100% correct. And I do say that. I'm from Boston, but I moved here 20 years ago. And when I first moved here, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, the banks didn't exist, over the Rhine didn't exist, and this city is amazing now. I definitely call this home, and I agree with you. I should not say that you don't feel like you're in Cincinnati. It's that you just felt so good to be in Cincinnati, that everything is happening here. So,
was there one really good surprise about that initial event that just was like, oh, we didn't even think of that, and wow, that was so cool.
I think when you're in this side of the business, you always kind of try to think about, okay, what can go wrong, and to make sure that you're ahead of it, that customer experience, the fan experience is like our number one priority. Mm-hmm. And I think what was unexpected was that everything did go right. I mean, we honestly, the lines weren't long. The people had a great time. The sound was amazing. The sight lines. I mean, even the band thought, we had so many compliments from the band, which a lot of people, you don't hear that end of it too, that being on that stage and looking out into that crowd with that skyline behind you and just the overall atmosphere, and it was, I think the Foo Fighters will definitely be back in Cincinnati.
Do you feel like there's like with the bands, right? So now someone's had an experience. Do you feel like they talk among each other?
I do.
And say, okay, you should book this venue because it's good. Or maybe in the past, like, no, you shouldn't go there. They don't have what we need. And now word's going to spread.
Absolutely. And it's more so with the managers and the agents too. It's like once they hear from their artist, oh man, that was a great experience. Then the managers and agents realize, okay, this is a great venue. Let's get some of our other artists to go there too. So it definitely is a ripple effect. And that's why we always try to put our best foot forward and make sure the artist has a great experience, make sure the fan has a great experience so that they do keep coming back.
And you just reopened Riverbend?
We did.
With Jimmy Buffett?
Yes.
That wasn't planned or anything, right? To have Jimmy Buffett?
No, but the planets aligned. I mean, again, Cincinnati coined the phrase parrot head. I think Jimmy Buffett in summertime in Cincinnati is just like, it's a tradition. So to be able to come back after 18 months without a concert at Riverbend and open with a sold out Jimmy Buffett show. And I will tell you what, I've seen 25 Jimmy Buffett shows, and this has had to be one of the best. I mean, he was having a great time. He even ended it with like a solo acoustic performance, which he has never done. I think everybody, again, like definitely got their money's worth and saw a side of Jimmy Buffett that they may not have seen in recent years.
Did you guys – have you – and I think probably in his recent years of coming to Cincinnati, it's been one and done, right? Whereas it used to be almost like a week-long
event. At one point, I want to say back in the early 90s, don't quote me on that, but he used to do five shows.
It's insane.
It is insane.
I do feel like he must not want to do them. We could still book him.
Well, yes. Have you guys
I think
asked,
the same people like would go to all five.
Yes.
Multiple
of
nights?
Of course, we always want multiple nights. But Jimmy is getting up there in years, and he definitely doesn't need the money. So I think he does this out of pure enjoyment. So we take what we can get.
Do you feel like we're headed to start getting some of these bigger concerts? Because that was like a big kind of discussion when like, should we move? Like, I don't know how we talked about it on this podcast. I know, like just bringing the Andrew J. Brady Icon Center to the banks. But do you feel like we are now in a position to start getting these bigger venues, these bigger acts?
I do. I think that Cincinnati, with all the music venues, not just ours, I think encompassing everything, that we literally have a venue of every size, you know, of every capacity to accommodate any artist. And I think, especially with the new venue, that it's attracting more artists that naturally or previously have overlooked Cincinnati. And I think I have heard that over the years. Oh, why didn't this band come to Cincinnati? Well, we are doing everything we can to prevent that from happening. And I think we have. I mean, the Andrew J. Brady Icon Music Center and the outside stage, the Icon Festival stage, I think just creates two new, exciting, state-of-the-art venues that, you know, are going to appeal to artists. And I think a lot of artists, Foo Fighters are a perfect example. I mean, they usually play stadiums, Lollapalooza, they play arenas. But to come and do an intimate show in a smaller venue like that for their fans, they love that just as much as we do.
You might talking about venues. We're lacking in our arena situation. Does MEMI have any say in trying? And I know there's been some efforts by the business community to study that and some recommendations on where an arena can go. Does your organization, are you in on those conversations? If so, what's your input on that?
We are not in on those conversations. We are not affiliated with the Heritage Bank Center.
Right.
I think our focus has mostly been on filling a niche that doesn't already exist. So
we need a new arena, I guess, from your, when you talk about getting
this is
all the
hot seat portion of the podcast.
But when you talk about, we have all these great venues and that's great and all, but we don't have our arena situation is not good. What, if we had a new arena, is that sort of makes, we're going to get anything and everything?
As
a concert promoter.
I do think that our arena has its challenges. I cannot speak to whether or not that is a reason why artists aren't coming that are doing arena tours. I do think that, though, choosing my words very
You're
carefully.
Good. I'll point everybody to Scott Wortman's coverage of all of like the arena and like what's going on with it. Go ahead.
I do think though that, you know, it's older. So yes, it obviously does need some improvements, but I think, you know, I don't think it's realistic to be able to tear it down and build a new one, at least right now. So I think it's better to, you know what, work with what you have. And I do think, though, that – and I would think they would agree that it definitely needs some improvements and to keep up with some of the other newer arenas that are, you know, coming up across the country.
We're only going to get – we're hitting our head on a ceiling in a sense from – Until that is addressed in whatever capacity, not asking you to comment on that, like we're going to be limited, and there are going to be people who turn us down for concerts.
I do. Yes. You know what? I think every city deals with that. And it's not just its capacity. Like a lot of the newer arenas are being built at larger capacities, too. So if an artist can go to a arena, another one closer by that, you know, perform one night and, you know, be able to sell more tickets, that comes into play, too. But, you know, I hope that it does see some improvements because I think that's the final thing that we need here, you know, have a state-of-the-art arena and then all, you know, all the boxes are checked and there's absolutely no reason why any artist wouldn't put us on their, you know, routing.
Like, we haven't gotten, correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't gotten some of these big acts. Pink, Taylor Swift, Christina Aguilera, Lady Gaga, right? Like those are, so far we've been bypassed, right?
To my knowledge, yes.
Do you feel like somebody of that, these are like the biggest acts for decades now, which is kind of hard to believe with some of them, but do you feel like some of them could say, I'm going to play a smaller venue, I'm going to come inside this new music venue and perform here and
absolutely.
Say yes to Cincinnati?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though it's smaller, you think we can get a better caliber act because of the quality?
I do. Hey, we can get anybody if we're willing to pay for it as well, too.
Oh, that, so, did I forget about that part?
That?
But there are, I mean, there have been artists that have decided, you know what, I'm going to do a smaller run. I'm going to hit some boutique venues. I'm going to hit like ballparks or just as a coolness factor to change up from, you know, their normal. I don't know if we'll see that in the near future because coming off of 18 months without being able to tour, you know, everybody wants to probably maximize capacities and do bigger tours and things like that. But again, I go back to the Foo Fighters, like that was such a get for us. And I do absolutely think that those opportunities will come up every now and then.
This just popped in my head because we're talking about acts coming to town. I don't know if they'll go on tour. I assume they will. U2. We've never had a stadium U2 or arena. Any like U2 has played here one time and it was at Bogarts in what 1981. Any thoughts on that? Can MEMI play a role the next time U2 goes on tour and get those guys here?
Yeah, I would love to think if we were ever part of that conversation, we would do everything we can to bring them here. I do think they definitely, I would say they need to go out on tour again soon. I mean, it's been.
I agree.
So, I mean, even before the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been
4 years. We would love to be part of that conversation. I think that would be an amazing concert. I've seen them like 10 times in my career. So.
What is your background to come into marketing for this? Are you like a huge music person? And what job specifically brought you here?
So I kind of fell into it. I started at the Performing Arts Center in Tampa working on Broadway and then got into concerts and loved the concert business. Went to the House of Blues in Orlando and then the job came open here at Riverbend Music Center. So I moved here, never been here before in my life, got on a plane and moved here. And since then, it's just, I can't imagine doing anything else.
I did that myself in 2002. Did you come from the airport, like over the cut in the hill to see me?
I drove. So my best friends and I loaded up my life in a U-Haul truck, drove to Cincinnati from Orlando, Florida, and I stayed at the Mount Vernon Hotel when that still existed.
Okay.
With my whole life.
The Vernon Manor.
Vernon Manor. Thank you. My whole life was in a U-Haul in the parking lot, and I was just like, oh my God. But I do, we talk about that, coming over that and seeing the skyline and the cut in the hill. That was pretty cool.
I also do say it took me a long, like, learning how to spell Cincinnati before I came. Key to the resume.
But I love it here. I think it's great, and I can't imagine living anywhere else now.
So you've had the same job. How much has MEMI grown? Of course, we have this new venue, but it's grown in other ways since 20 years ago.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, we have, what, 6 venues now, and we've you know, worked hard to establish ourselves as the biggest promoter here in the Midwest. So we definitely have worked at that. The new venue, I think, is – we're all so proud of it because it's something – that project was like 6 years in the making. It's been talked about for so long and to finally have it happen. And again, I think MEMI, we pride ourselves on being local. We put the community first. we put the fans first, the customer experience first. At least that's always our number one priority.
And one of the craziest things about the whole conversation was you do that. But there were some people who were like, oh, local's bad. Like, we need the bigger and better to come from outside to get what we really want. And that was not a that's not usually like the Cincinnati conversation, because we get along and we support each other. Like, that's a Cincinnati thing, I do feel like, for the most part. But that didn't happen necessarily. And do you feel like there's been some having to prove?
Yeah, I definitely, you know what? We were the underdog. Absolutely. Right from the beginning, nobody thought that we should get this project, that it should go to a bigger promoter who, quote, brings in the cool acts. You know, because we're affiliated with the symphony, everyone thought that it was just going to be the same as many people have said, the same old acts that come to Riverbend year after year.
But that sell out and are packed and everyone. I have had so many people say to me, are you going to Hall & Oates? Like, Hall & Oates isn't the big cool act right this second, but it is something that's going to be a fun night. People want to go and do that. And like, is there something wrong with that?
Right.
No.
And there's not. So we kind of took it as a challenge. And okay, you know what? You don't think we can do it? Well, let us show you how. And we didn't comment a lot on it. But we definitely kind of just let our actions speak louder than any words we could ever say. And I think with the caliber of acts that we have come into the Icon, I mean, Nathaniel Ratcliffe, we have St. Vincent, we have, you know, Brothers Osborne, Foxy Shazam, the list goes on and on and on.
Do we know how those are cool? I don't really know about them. So that seems right. Did I interrupt the list? I didn't mean to interrupt
the
list.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, I was one of the critics, and yeah, I still think there's some things to prove here.
Well, and we welcome that, and we look forward to doing that. And again, we will continue to do what we do best. And there's always going to be critics, and you definitely, you know what? It keeps us, you know, working hard. So bring it on.
Does competing with Promo West in Northern Kentucky make us better, get us better acts? Does the competition help?
What? Competition is always good. Again, it makes you work harder. It keeps you honest. It makes you keep your eye on the ball. I think that having the two venues, who's going to benefit the most is the fans, because even with them across the street, there's only 365 days in a year.
Yeah.
They're going to have shows. We're going to have shows. And it's going to benefit Cincinnatians and fans alike.
Is there going to be a winner and a loser in this? Or, and I know you're on the inside, so you see this and you look out 5 years and 10 years. And 10 years from now, are we going to say, oh, this one won and this one lost?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope not. I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's just about bringing music to Cincinnati, bringing good quality acts. And it's, you know what? We want to be here forever. So that's what we're going to do. I don't see it as a competition. I don't think there's anything to be gained out of that.
So I think that our listeners might recognize your last name, because you come here, your friends help you get here, me too. And then did you meet your husband? I think we know him here.
Yes.
<the podcast>.
My husband, Jim. I met him actually in the elevator at what was an U.S. Bank Arena.
Oh, really?
He was running the arena.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He used to run the arena, and yeah. I was doing a Dixie Chicks show there, and I was picking up tickets, and I met him in the elevator, and the rest, as they say, is history.
He owns the Holy Grail. He was a guest a couple weeks ago, maybe more than that, because these weeks kind of, you know, fly by. And we also call him the mayor of the bank.
Yes, he's the mayor everywhere. Anywhere we go, we could be walking down Santa Monica Boulevard and he'll run into somebody he knows.
I'll tell you, Jim is, he is bullish on the banks and on downtown, and did a fantastic job. We had him on, I do a side thing on WLW and had him on, and just the fact that he was able to, what he did with his employees during the pandemic, and it says a lot about him. And
it does.
I know, you know.
And I think it's because of where he was raised. Excuse me. He has that Cincinnati pride. And I think that, and that is one thing about this community too, is that especially through the pandemic, owning a restaurant, everyone kind of banded together and tried to support him and keep each other lifted up. And his values, I admire. And I think that it's definitely, you know, being brought up here, he had a great family. And just, you know, Cincinnati, that is one thing about this community, too, that I've learned is that everybody definitely bands together and supports one another. And he is a big advocate of this city and just making it better.
Yeah. And the Holy Grail has endured.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic place. And
thank you.
Around, I mean, businesses around it have come and gone, but the Holy Grail has been a staple there. And, you know, congrats to your family on that, you know.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
I mean, think about the banks, you know, and we have written a lot about them over the years, but where we're at this summer with the Dora that is, you know, for all of the restaurants to give that outdoor space. I think, and then the Music Center, we have had just a sea change in a very short amount of time.
It has been, yes. And I think, too, what we haven't talked about, we keep talking about Cincinnati, but do you know how many people are coming now in from out of, like, outlying states and everything to come here? It's funny, bringing up the Grail, about 5 or 6 years ago, I helped out and worked the bear tubs there during the Reds game. And it was always funny to me when people would come in from out of town when we paid the Cubs or, you know, New Yorkers or whatever. First, they were astounded at how cheap the beer prices were. But secondly, they were just like, I had no idea how cool this city was. No. And I think the more we do to bring people in from the outside to see it, it's, you know, it's kind of like a hidden gem that not too many people put Cincinnati on their bucket list. But the more we keep making these improvements and these great things like the Music Center, like the Dora, you know, experience,
the
it's just
zoo, three professional sports teams.
Exactly. And being in the middle of two major, I mean, the baseball stadium and the football stadium is just, it's such a unique experience. And I look forward to, you know, more people experiencing that.
So I will say real quick, in some marriages, you get to go to the Holy Grail when you're helping your spouse. And in other marriages, you have to copy edit their business stories. Huh. Interesting.
We all make it work.
What's a concert in your whole career that you've landed that you're like, oh, yes, this is the Holy Grail of concerts that I helped land?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to say the Foo Fighters in that small of a setting was – like in the top five. When I was working at the House of Blues in Orlando, though, it was kind of that coolness factor. We had, and this was a 1,500 capacity venue. We had Aretha Franklin. We had the Foo Fighters when they were first starting out in like 92. There's been so many concerts, but just seeing a big act like that in a small venue, you're putting me on the spot and I can't think, but I've had the privilege of experiencing some of those and it's just like, you know, you get goosebumps.
Yeah.
They must be iconic. Both, I don't know, can't even believe I know this, but both of them have been clues on Jeopardy this week. The Foo Fighters was a clue about drummers and then Aretha Franklin had a whole category to herself.
Oh,
last night. There's a big documentary on her coming. But so, yes, iconic.
Yes, definitely.
So, all right. Well, who's your dream concert?
Yeah.
You just put it out there into the world.
I know.
And we'll help you bring it in. Let's do it.
To come to it would be you too. Yeah. Like you brought that up. I mean, I've been fortunate to see almost everyone on my bucket list, but a few have passed away prior to that. But I think you two here would be just awesome. So I'm putting that out into the universe.
Where do you stand on that? Like, because the older you get, I do feel like go see, because you don't know what's going to happen. And like, you don't want to like look back and be like, I didn't see that person.
Right.
I had a final and somebody's like, I have Prince tickets in Detroit when I was in college. And I was like, no, I need to study. I didn't go, and I can't believe, like, I don't know what that test was, and who cares? I did not go see Prince.
I think we've all had those moments, and I think, though, that the pandemic has, at least for me, has put that into perspective. Like, don't take things for granted. Make sure you make time to have those experiences because you don't know when they won't be there anymore.
Yeah.
And see those artists that you want to see, and definitely, you know, take the time to go do that. It's – I that's – I will never take live music for granted again. I've been doing this for 25 years. And yeah. I would tell you, before the pandemic, I was like, oh, gosh, I don't want to ever want to see another concert. But now I'm just like, bring it on.
Yeah. When we have occasionally do have a stadium concert at either the Red Stadium or Bengal Stadium.
Garth Brooks is coming.
Yes.
Is it MEMI that plays a role? Because I know the individual, like the Reds, they're not concert promoters. The Bengals aren't. Does MEMI play a role in helping to bring those concerts to those stadiums?
So for the stadium shows, it's usually Live Nation or AEG that have like the national, sometimes worldwide tours that do those caliber artists. But that's not to say, you know, in years to come, we won't be at that caliber as well.
What I'm getting at is that maybe you could play a role in getting us YouTube.
Yes,
too,
so. I will do my best.
I'm like really big on this.
We're
on the same page.
Agree 100%. So yes, that is definitely on the list.
When the microphone goes off, we're sending you out to get us a YouTube.
I'll call
concert,
Bono as soon as we say cut.
What's kind of next, right? Like, I mean, this, through no fault of yours or possibly even MEMI, this has been a struggle to get to this point. I mean, have you been able to like look forward to like what's next for the venues or what kind of venue we need other than arena?
I think so. We went from 0 to 60, right? We had no concerts for 18 months. And then like a few weeks ago, we were putting like 15 shows a week on sale. So wow. I think we have 100. MEMI has 153 shows between July and December at between all of our venues. So I think our focus is right now is on selling those shows, making sure people, you know, are educated about the new venue too. It's surprising to me, not surprising, but you know, we have this new venue, but people still aren't exactly sure. Okay, well, what is it? Is it all GA? Is it seated? Well, it has multiple different configurations.
I actually do have a question about that because you're having. Oh, it's a country act.
Brothers Osborne?
No.
Chris Lane?
It's Brett Eldridge? It's in tiers. So it's sold as like front seating and back seating.
Brad Paisley?
Yes.
Okay, so Brad Paisley is on the Icon Festival stage, which is outdoors, which is where the Foo Fighters were. And you have front GA and then regular GA. So basically front GA is what you would consider if you were to go to Riverbend, like the pit.
Okay.
So you're closer to the stage in a marked off area, and then everybody else is behind that.
So some of the concerts will be like that.
Yes.
Like pay attention to how that is because it is, it is an outdoor concert venue. So it's like general admission for the most part.
Correct. So, but pay attention to that. And that's what that means is that, you know, we consider it the pit area of the GA. So.
And we've been talking, but I don't think we went over for our listeners. We talked about a few of the venues, but can you say all the venues that MEMI brings concerts to?
We have Riverbend Music Center, PNC Pavilion, the Taft Theater downtown, of course, the new Andrew J. Brady Icon Music Center, the outdoor stage, which is the Icon Festival stage at Smale Park. And we also have the Rose Music Center at the Heights up in Huber Heights, which they kind of modeled after PNC Pavilion here. So it's same capacity. Also, you know, with MEMI, what it gives us the ability to do is having venues like in Dayton and Cincinnati that, you know, when a tour is routing, we can say, hey, you know, let's route you through and we can give you two venues instead of one. So I think to go back to your question, what's next? I don't know if there's any more venues in our immediate future. I think we kind of want to settle into the ones we have and kind of get the flow going for those. And then who knows? On to you two.
On to you too. And MEMI also is partner with Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra.
We are owned by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, but we operate as a separate entity as
well. Yeah.
Do you see those seasons going forward? I did have a chance to go to the outdoor opera, which was amazing, up in Blue Ash. Do you feel like that we're going to settle in with the symphony and the pops and the ballet, kind of go back to more normal?
I do. I mean, I hope, at least I'm hopeful that we do. I know everyone is concerned, as are we, with the Delta variant and just COVID, still living with COVID. But I hope that I feel like we're starting to go in the right direction, and I hope we continue in that right direction. And just I remain hopeful. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm hopeful that it does go back to normal and we just keep moving on.
I will. I mean, there has really been, people just didn't give up. Like, I went to the ballet at Eden Park and then the opera at Summit Park, and they were such special experiences. I did kind of like, okay, like to have it in this setting, I do want it. But at the same time, it's music hall is such a special place.
It
had the huge renovation and we were just kind of settling into enjoying that. And so it was like, all right, take this while we can outside.
Right. And who knows? I mean, I can't speak for them, but maybe that, you know, it's a combination of both. If people really liked that unique experience of being outside, you know, you try something new and you find out, oh, people actually, you know, enjoy this. Who's to say they can't keep doing both?
Those both felt very much like Paris moments.
Yes.
The parks in Paris that are programmed like that, just on kind of a daily basis. For the ballet, you can bring a picnic. I would encourage the opera to let you bring food and drink. But it was an amazing experience nonetheless.
Rosemary, this has been fantastic. Thanks for taking the time here today. If folks want to, are there separate websites for all the different venues, or is there one place where folks can go for tickets, for information?
So
on concerts that are coming up?
I would recommend you go to each of the individual websites.
Okay.
But Ticketmaster.com, you can actually search just by venue and it'll pull up all the concerts. IconMusicCenter.com, Riverbend.org, TAFTheater.org. I think...
And follow them on Twitter.
And follow them. Yes, our social media. Yeah. We're also, you know, we do a lot of ticket giveaways and contests and things like that is always good.
Is that on your social media?
Yes.
Facebook?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
Is that for each separate venue or is there
each
one?
Each separate
okay,
venue,
okay,
yes.
Gotcha. Great stuff. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It was fun being here.
And tell Jim we said hey.
I will.
All right. Thanks again to Rosemary and Sherry. What's your final thought, your Jerry Springer final thought on our chat with Rosemary?
So let's start with dear you too. So there's an
Absolutely.
Open letter there. But I also wanted to say, certainly check out their social media. Who doesn't want to win contests? That does exist in kind of their promotions. One-stop shopping, things to do Cincy. App for the Inquirer, and we run this list. You can find it on our website. Like the headline is like, concerts are back. Here are all of them.
Yeah.
Like, so that kind of like just this ongoing list, and we do a lot with it too on our Instagram account. So there's a lot of ways to follow all of this, but I did want to point to that. That's where I find out about all the concerts. Or sometimes I see them in the system, but not everyone can do that. So.
Yeah. I love that the one concert she wants is U2 because that's the one concert I want. And
I thought you were going to say, and I forgot to ask her, darn it, that it was going to be Richard Marx.
Yeah, no.
Do you want to sing for us? It has been a while.
No, that's a good – oh, you tied me up. You put me on the spot on that one.
Oh, sorry. So I saw – you were at the Banks last night, and I called you. It was nice of you to call me back, but then I realized that you were at the game. Tell me, how did it go?
Took my son Roman, 4 years old, to his first Reds game. Went with another family, and it was just fantastic. He loved it. We sat in the upper deck, first row, so he kind of was right on the looking over the field and got some great pictures of him looking over Great American Ballpark, and he just had a blast. And he went, our 8-year-old son and a couple of his friends went, and Roman likes to play up. So he thinks he's one of the big kids. And so he's just rolling with those guys. They went down to the playground for a while, but I was surprised Roman hung in there for a great chunk of the game. And
Jack loved the playground. I regretted like showing it to him like kind of early on, because then he would be like, we're going to a Reds game. And he was like, the playground, it is an amazing playground. And then there's the little field where you can hit balls and go down the slide. And I would be like, we're going to watch the game.
Right. But we did it up.
There's so much to do there. You can do both.
Yeah. And we did it up. We just whatever snacks and they wanted, we're like, what the heck? You know, this is the first time we've gone as an entire 4-person family because this is Roman's first game. So
a go-to snack.
I just really like a brat, and that's usually my go-to brat with kraut and mustard at the ballpark. Although I veered from that, and I'm a creature of habit, so I almost always get the same thing wherever I go, whatever that place is. But I broke ranks last night, and I got 2 cheese conies, and we ate dinner at the game too. So,
all right, that's fun for everybody.
Taking out a second mortgage here on Monday. I already called my bank to see.
I know Jack is the pickiest eater ever, but he will eat us out of house and home at the stadiums.
Yes,
because there's something about it.
Yes, so. Yeah, it was a blast. We had the weather. You talk about the weather for the Foo Fighters was fantastic. Like the weather for last night's game, the weather today as we're recording is just like, is it really August in Cincinnati?
Yeah, we're gonna roll with that though. Shh,
absolutely. Anyway, thanks again to Rosemarie Mooring for joining us, and thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.